House Bill 1258, an act to revise the distribution of state aid to education.
House Bill 1258, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Acarius.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I will try to be brief. I've distributed a table and an amendment. Mr. Speaker, I intend to speak just to the amendment 1258DE.
Is there a second?
For those of you who had your daily reader here earlier this morning, there was some confusion. In fact, there's been confusion on this bill from a procedural standpoint almost all day. But let me just point out the two changes to what you had in your engrossed reader. On the second page of the amendment, subsection 2A is new, and subsection 3A is new. Everything else is the same as what was in your engrossed reader. Before I walk through the bill, I just want to make just a couple of comments, and that is to say that this proposal is a compromise. Are the percentages as low as I'd like to see them? The answer is no. Are they as high as some other members of the Small School Coalition would like to see? The answer is no. Is there as much new money in here as other members of the Coalition on Education would like to see? And the answer is no. Well, you get the idea. This isn't a perfect bill, but this is a compromise. And I have spent a number of hours and, matter of fact, days in the recent couple of days working with various groups that affect education for every student in this state. And this is the product of those, if I will say, negotiations, discussions. Let me just walk through the bill and just say that on your handout that has the table there, if I can just go through and talk about these as cells, and I will call the top cell being greater than 45%. That is the general fund reserve for both large schools, which is on the far right of the table, and the small schools, which are on the left side. In the middle cell is the fund balance, 25 to 45, and the bottom is less than 25. That was all in the engrossed bill. What that essentially says is that of the top cell, those above 45% that are getting a small school factor will no longer get a small school factor until they drop below 45%. The schools that will receive that small school factor that is recaptured is any school that is under 25% general fund balance, large or small, and that will be distributed on a pro rata share. And for a school under 600, they will get a pro rata share, one student per pro rata. And then above 600, in other words, like a district like mine that has 14,000 kids, they will get a 1.0 pro rata share up to 600 kids, and then from 600 to 14,000, they will get a half per every kid over 600. And let me just watch, those are the nuts and bolts of the bill on the recapturing of the small school factor. And I said in committee the other day, and I'll say it again today, I am not anti-small school. I happen to come from a district that's not a small school, but I want to tell you that I agree that there are schools in this state that need to have extra money as a bonus for being small because of the diseconomy of scale. My district runs with one superintendent for 14,000 kids. I know there are districts in the state that have 100 that also have a superintendent. I understand that and I agree with that, but I don't agree with the fact that you need to have a bonus if you already have half of your school year funded for the next year. The line below the bottom cell is new, and that is we had superintendents in committee that said, if we have opted out, are we going to be punished and not get our small school factor? And what this seeks to do is let them have their their opt-out amount without punishing them for having that. In other words, if you had a school that by opting out moved their fund balance from 30% up to 65% due to their opt-out. Section 2A says that you will be counted as if you had a 30% balance, so you would still get your small school factor. The bottom line, and this is where the new money comes in, this is the declining enrollment money that we have commonly used for the technology fund that the governor has used for wiring the schools. Half of that money will now go into all of the categories, both above 45, 25 to 45%, and below 25% on a per student basis. That is now Section 3A of the bill. That is one-time money. Section 3 at the bottom refers to that as saying the enrollment adjustment shall apply only to the distribution of state aid education for the fiscal year 2002. So that will not be there next year unless this legislature chooses to do so. I will wrap up very quickly here. So let me just give you a couple of examples. So if you are greater than 45% and you're a small school, you get your annual CPI. If you're a large school, you get your annual CPI. If you're 25 to 45, you will get your CPI like you do now in the formula. And you will get your small school factor. If you're a big district, you'll just get what you normally would get because you don't get the small school factor. If you are a small school, thank you, Representative McCoy. If you are a small school less than 25, you will get three things. You will get the CPI, you will get a recaptured small school amount, and you will get a pro rata share of that, what I would say, technology money, which is roughly $1.5 to $2 million. If you're a big school and you're under 25, you will get a recaptured amount from those at the top, and you will get a pro rata share of new money of that, what I would say, 1.5 or 2.0 technology money. That is essentially what the bill does. I'd stand for any questions. I would appreciate your support. I know this bill doesn't go as far as some people would like. I know this isn't a long-term solution. I know that over time, the top cell over 45 will become a smaller number, and the bottom cell eventually will not recapture very much money. But this will serve to get us beyond the issue that has, in my opinion, prevented us from doing an across-the-board funding of education to a larger amount, because you can't fix a problem by giving money to everybody knowing that to get it to the person who may need it most, you have to give it to a bunch of people who don't need it at all. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this moves us in that direction. I understand that there are people that cannot vote for this because of schools in their district that may be considered as losers or punished by it. I would just say this is not punishment. This is just a withholding of a bonus that they don't need if they're over 45%. And I would stand by for any questions, and I appreciate your support.
Further remarks on the Carius motion to amend. Representative Jim Peterson.
Just one question, please. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
State your question, yes, sir.
When we look at percentages alone, they don't apply equally to large schools and small schools. If I look at my home district of Grant Dual, they had a 16.54% fund balance. Sioux Falls had 16.69% fund balance. But in October, Grant Dual had to borrow money to honor all their checks. Is there some way that your bill is going to address the needs of a very small school?
Representative Carius, do you wish to answer the question?
Yes, I do, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Jim Peterson. As you might imagine, this has been kind of a work in progress, and when I present this to the committee, we did not have a fixed dollar amount, like a $200,000 or greater or a percentage, and that was brought to my attention. And at one of the revisions to get to this point, we actually did have a number in there. Through the negotiations, actually with the small school president of that association, he said, if you raise those percentages, and he wanted 50, I had 40, we compromised at 45, and he said, if that goes away, then the $200,000 block, he said, we don't need it if we get the higher percent. So I took it out as a result of compromise.
Representative
that's,
Peterson.
That's the honest answer to your question.
I'm sorry. Representative Peterson, you still have the floor, sir.
I think that answered my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further remarks on the Icarus motion to amend?
Speaker.
Representative Van Norman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, I think for me at least, this is the most important issue that I'll deal with in the legislature, will be how do we take care of kids in schools? That's a sacred trust for all of us to handle. How well we understand the current funding formula and how well we have the best information to make our decision on is going to determine the future of all the school districts in the state and all the children in those schools. We do have this sacred trust, and we have to look ahead to every aspect of the situation. We are facing today four bills, one which the current amendment deals with, was brought to the committee with about, on my recollection, 30 minutes left to review the bill, and we had never seen it before that night. There are some good things in the bill. They do address a lot of issues, but I don't think we've really studied the issue well enough, and I don't think we know the impacts to all these schools. I have a bunch in my district that are going to be affected by this in a way that they will not have the same access to funds. Where does this surplus fund balance or where does this reserve fund rise to the most important issue that we're dealing with? There are a lot of issues here. There's an overall funding picture trying to make sure that schools do pay their teachers enough, but that decision has been made locally. We have a lot of talk about that and the importance of doing that. Maybe there's some other ways we can go about it instead of just looking at the capital fund balance or reserve balance, because where that money comes from in each district is going to depend on how much taxes are generated and outside funds, fines, and whatever way each district spends that money. So it is a very difficult challenge to come up with that solution. But I think that we need to look at all these options tonight and really consider. If we don't have the best information to decide tonight, then respectfully I say we should defer this and study it this session, the remainder of the session, and come up with something the best that we can so we know the impact school by school, district by district, and we make the wisest choice. If we don't, we're going to be affecting this formula in a way that we don't understand, and that may be very negative to some, very beneficial to others. We did talk about fairness. We've got to be sure that we have the basis covered and we're fair with whatever method we pick today, this evening, to go forward on this. It is critical that we look and understand that these funds and reserve balance, why they're there, how they got to that point in each school. Are they really wasting money, or was this some other policy that they had before? Was this something that they were told to do years ago? Is this because the districts and the boards feared what our legislative body might do year to year with the money that they're depending on to run their schools? They need the ability to have good input in our process and to come in and plan. So I am glad that we're getting this attention and now we're going to focus on it. But I'm also very concerned if we rush to it. I don't know the impacts of all these concepts upon the districts, and I serve on the Education Committee. This concerns me. I am not in a position tonight to go forward on this bill and say that this is a better one than the others. And so therefore I think we ought to study it some more, and if it takes us to the end of session or beyond, let's do it. But in any case, I hope you really look to these figures and consider, even if it benefits one school or another, do we have a formula that's going to give the best quality of education for all the students in South Dakota?
Further remarks, Representative Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I wish that, you know, this is the first that I've really seen this section of this bill, and it's been 15, 20 minutes. And we're expected to act on a bill that is going to be have a maybe a potential devastating effect to some of our school districts. We don't know. I really liked Representative Holbeck's show of what his proposed amendment would have done, because at least you could look and see how it was going to affect the school districts in your area and all the, and the rest of the state. I don't know how this bill is going to affect any schools in my district. I haven't had time to even try to digest it. Well, I understand is what's going to happen here right now, but I'm not so sure this is the right way to do business, folks.
Further remarks, Representative? Excuse me. Further remarks? Well, Representative Dunwald.
This may be a waste of time, but probably is. If there's no further remarks, I want to call a question.
I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't hear you.
Mr. Speaker, I don't see anything else, but I want to call a question. It's getting a little late.
The question's been called. Is there a second? All those in favor of calling the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Question's been called. The question before the House of Representatives is adoption, approval of the Acarius Motion 1258-DE. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. 1258 is amended. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the House of Representatives is final passage of House Bill 1258 as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote on final passage of House Bill 1258 as amended.
All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 48, nays 20, excused 2.
House Bill 1258, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Comments on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.